Edge with April Mahoney Brains. You're back at your favorite podcast, the spot, the place, the location. Well, the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today, we have friend of the show, Dan Falkerson of Bada Falkerson Injury Attorneys. Brains, I can't tell you, I can't speak highly enough about just him as a human being. He is an injury attorney. When you need someone, you know, you've had a bad car accident, you've had a motorcycle accident. Do you do personal injury as well?
That's all we do, is personal injury cases.
Personal injury cases. And I got turned on to him a while ago. I referred tons of people. But he's not just a great attorney. He is an avid bulldog lover. He is so philanthropic. He has two locations, one here in San Diego, where he has been awarded, what, three or four times as like the attorney of the year?
Yeah, we've gotten, thank God, a lot of awards, a lot of accolades for the people we've helped. And, you know, my favorite is we were voted the favorite attorney in San Diego. So that was what we were awarded last year, which I greatly appreciate.
And he loves his bulldogs. You even got a park for him.
Yep. We built a little league dog park just so everyone in that area has a place to take their dogs.
So tell them a little bit about you, Dan, and how you show up in the world.
Yeah, so I'm an injury attorney during the day. I'm a bulldog dad at night. I have five of my own bulldogs. They're rescue dogs. I have my own bulldog rescue. So when I'm not a lawyer, I'm trying to rescue as many bulldogs as I can. San Diego, people don't think that you can rescue a bulldog. Unfortunately, we have a lot of breeders. And when breeders are done with dogs, they ditch them on the street. So Gigi, she was ditched on the street about a year and a half ago, came to me in really bad shape. She only weighed 11 pounds. You could see every single rib on her, just not in good condition. And we get them back to healthy and back to life and find most of them homes. Some of them end up staying with me. I have five. I have three Frenchies and two English, and she fit in really well with my pack. So she's stayed with me and she'll be with me forever. But just, you know, doing whatever I can to help the dog community, doing whatever I can to help accident victims. Unfortunately, you know, San Diego, we have a lot of car accidents, a lot of motorcycle accidents, and that's what we do. We help people that, you know, have their lives turned upside down and help them get things straight and hopefully in back to as close to where they were prior to the accident.
Wow. Well, I still am enamored with Gigi's coat. That coloring on her is absolutely gorgeous.
She's a good kid.
Why bulldogs?
So I had my first bulldog when I was 21 years old, and I was at San Diego State, in a normal San Diego State college kid, partying too much, drinking too much. And I, you know, it's sad to admit it now, I don't drink at all, but back then I was drunk one night and had this stupid drunk idea of buying a bulldog online at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I went and found a breeder and somehow didn't get ripped off. And 2 days, 3 days later, Stella shows up at the airport for me, and she was my first one. And she really kind of helped me grow up. She helped me have responsibility. She helped me realize that I had to come home every night, and then there was something that I had to take care of. And I give her a lot of credit for me getting my life on track and for me putting my education first and for me really just becoming an adult. And I stopped drinking and really just kind of dialed myself in thanks to her. And so she's the legacy dog, our mascot, and, you know, that's our logo, and that's her. She, you know, our logo was built around Stella. And so she passed at 17 and a half years old, which is really old for English. And I'm grateful for every second I had with her, but I still get to see her every day because she's my legacy piece. And she's, you know, all over town. She's on top of our building. And it's the best thing for me is that she will exist for forever in memory, thanks to, you know, what she did in my life.
Well, you know, dog is God spelled backwards. Absolutely. 100%.
100%. And
I love dogs. I really do. They mean so much to me. So tell us a little bit about the your philanthropic philosophy. You are a giver. I won't say to a fault, but you really, really believe, and it is embedded. And let me see. I want to read a part of your tagline. It says, living my dream every day and determined to pay it forward. Injury attorney by day, bulldog dad by night. What does that mean to you? And why is it so important to you to pay it forward? Now, and I know everybody should, but it's something innately in you that just illuminates your aura about you and your giving.
So I was raised for the most part by a single mom, three kids. And my mom was, I mean, she had her hands full. Like we were a farm kid. Like she had a property she had to deal with and three of us and work. And she still found time to always give back and instilled in us how important that was, whether that's, Meals on Wheels she would volunteer for and we'd go with her to deliver meals, or whether it was a rescue mission. My mom was just always that person that would give of herself before she'd ever think about herself. And I learned so much from that. And I could never say that I even, compare to how my mother is as a human being. She's one of the best people I've ever met in my life. But I've always known that it's important to pay it forward and to give back. And I've been very, very blessed in my life. I'm very fortunate to live the life that I do. I feel like I get to live my dream every single day. I have built a very successful business. I'm surrounded by amazing human beings on a daily basis. And I'm just very, very lucky. And I think that when you have that life perspective, you do need to pay it forward and you do need to give back to the community that's given so much to all of us. And I love San Diego, and this is the place that I will be for the rest of my life. And so I just think it's important that we're all involved and we're all doing our part. And I'm lucky enough to have great friends that have invited me to sit on their boards of different organizations. I sit on six different charity boards right now. I always try to maintain about five or six different board positions for local charities. I've started my own two nonprofits. I started a dog rescue where we, help save bulldogs. And then I also started a organization that adopts local schools.
I saw that. That was amazing.
You'll have to come out and volunteer. It's amazing. We have a lot of volunteer opportunities. But we adopt the highest homeless rate schools in San Diego. So we started with Bell Middle School, and then we went to Knox Middle School, and now we're in five schools. And it was a group of friends that came together and thought, hey, how can we impact the youth and start to get things, holes that are in the school systems, plugged? And it's grown in the last 3 years exponentially, and we're able to have such an amazing impact on youth that it's a really, really rewarding thing. And I'm excited to go from 5 to 8 to 10 to 15 schools.
What is your target? What are you doing? Are you helping them with STEM, getting the supplies that they need, giving them extracurricular activities? What is your part in it?
It's actually a little bit of everything you just named. What we realized early on is we'd go into schools and the principals would basically say, hey, we have organizations that come in all the time, but they don't really get to understand our individual needs, and every school has unique needs. So we really sit down and spend some time with each school and figure out what they need. And they let us know, hey, here's the holes. Here's where we have some issues. Here's where we can need help. For example, Bell Middle School was our first school. After sitting down with them, we realized that the campus looked a lot like a jail and not much like a school. And that's not a good learning environment. There was no grass. There was no color. It was just kind of blah. And they didn't have the resources to change that. So we went in, we made gardens, we painted murals, we made it look like a school. It beautified the campus. We also, with every school, we give a donation to each classroom for school supplies every semester. So a lot of these teachers don't have any supplies. They're coming out of their own pocket, and they're not making a ton of money to be able to do that. So we will come and we will supplement that so the teachers have what they need to be able to teach, but they're not having to front that bill. So we do that for every single class. We also do teacher appreciation events. We realized that there wasn't a lot of camaraderie, especially at Bell. And that was a complaint by one of the principals when we first met with them, was the teachers don't really talk. They don't really get along. It's not like a community like it should be. So we do teacher appreciation events. We bring in mindfulness coaches. We bring in yoga. We bring in massage therapists. We have local restaurants like Barbusa that host and will donate food for all the teachers. And we do that once a month. And it's been an amazing thing to watch because now all these teachers are hanging out outside of school. They're happy about their jobs. They like the, you know, they look forward to the teacher appreciation events. It's been great. We also do Fun Fridays for the kids once a month. And what that is to help attendance rates. A lot of these schools have very poor attendance rates. And if kids qualify and they're actually showing up to school and doing what they need to do, they qualify for Fun Friday. And we bring in local sports teams. So the San Diego Wave, the San Diego Gulls, the San Diego Strike Force, all different kinds of sports teams. They set up a little exhibition for the kids. We have a local restaurant sponsor the food for all the kids. One of the local radio stations will come and set up their DJ booth. We give away prizes to all the kids, backpacks, skateboards, soccer balls, basketballs. And it's just a time for the kids to be able to enjoy being kids and be able to have a great time. And the attendance rates of all these schools have skyrocketed as a result because the kids want to participate in Fun Friday. So they're showing up to school. So it's been an amazing experience and watching the impact and watching these principals go and try to recruit other schools and go to other principals and go, you have to bring on positive movement. You have no idea what they've done for our school. That's what shows me that it's making a very big impact. And so now we have a waiting list of schools and it's all funding. So we can't, you know, take on too many until we have the capacity, but it's been, you know, 3 years and we now have 5 schools, which is amazing.
I can't believe it. Well, I can't believe it because I know you're a hard charger. You have other aspirations, and I don't know if this is something that's still in your wheelhouse, but I was looking for you to run for mayor or something like that because you really had a strong viewpoint and opinions on some of the things that were going on in the political environment. Do you ever see yourself going in that road?
You know, not now. Who knows what the future holds? The political system is just kind of messy and kind of ugly. I don't know if I have the tact for it. I'm a little too blunt. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for anyone that does it, but I also think it's a system, right? It's the political system, and you have to play a certain game to be a part of the system or the system will reject you. And I'm not good at playing those games. Like, I think that that's a big part of what's wrong with our country is that if you don't fall in line with whatever party it is you're supposed to, you know, be a part of and follow their guidelines, they're going to boot you out. And I'm of the belief that both parties kind of suck nowadays. And it's more about division and divide and, you know, divide and control than anything else. And I think that you should take each issue and look at each issue and not worry about whether you're Republican or whether you're a Democrat and worry about how you come out on each issue and then make your decisions accordingly. And that's not a very popular viewpoint because we have this two-party system and people feel like they need to check a box and fit into that box. And that's just not the way that I think that our country should function. So maybe
I agree with you 110% with that because I find myself more effective not being in that role and aligning myself. I'm a free thinker. I'm an independent. And whoever has the, you know, who has the best, you know, thing on the table, or what should I say, the most palatable, because I'm not going to agree with everything.
For sure.
I lend myself to that, but you have more flexibility. But I was looking for that. I was looking for your name on the ballot. You had my vote for sure.
Maybe 10 years down the road, once I got some more gray hair and I'm done doing the small thing, rescuing bulldogs, maybe then, but not anytime soon.
So you have branched off and you have opened a law office down in Boise. Now, are you originally from Boise?
I grew up outside of Boise, so in a smaller area. It's called Eagle. It's grown a lot now, but when I moved there, there was like no red lights, no grocery store. It was a farm town. And so that's where I grew up. So that's, you know, where I was raised until I was 18 years old and came out to San Diego. That's where I'm from. That's where my mom is. That's where my sister is. And As my mom gets older, my sister has two daughters, my nieces are growing. I wanted to be able to spend more time there. Family is a big thing to me. And so being able to open that firm there, being able to go home, I just got back last night from Boise, being able to help people that I grew up with. I'm representing, you know, several really close friends' parents. It's just, it's such a, it fills my soul to be able to go back to where I'm from and be a part of that community. Could I ever move back in full? Probably not. I love San Diego, but I love being able to go back and forth and be able to, you know, be a part of that city and help people there. And people, not to say anything bad about San Diego, because I love San Diego, but people, as you get more inland in this country, how people are and their value systems are different, and they're the most welcoming, kind, thoughtful humans. And I take attorneys from my office back to meet clients, and they're like, what is this place? Like, they had us come and meet at their house, and they cooked us breakfast, and then like, that's just how people are. It is a very friendly, warm community, and I miss that. And I, you know, it's something that, to be able to do both and to be able to have the office in San Diego and to be able to have the office in Boise has been very rewarding.
Well, and the quality and the caliber of attorneys that you select to be a part of your law firm is above reproach. I mean, you know, Brains, you'll get an attorney. They'll take the intake, or their assistant will take the intake, and you don't hear from them until it's time to settle.
True story.
You know, Attorney Falkerson's team, they will give you their phone number. They call you right back. You don't have to wait. They call to check to see how you're doing. It's an ongoing process. That way, you're already in a vulnerable position because you've been injured, or a family member's been injured. You don't know what your insurance is going to do. You don't know if you're going to have medical care.
Yep. You've got
all these other things to worry about. The last thing that you need to do is to worry about your attorney doing what an attorney is supposed to do, and that's represent you. So I'm telling you, it's the best service that I've ever seen.
I appreciate that. And I hear all those complaints from so many clients, and I have clients, and it breaks my heart, that come to me and they're like, I had an accident 10 years ago and it was the worst experience ever. And I, you know, I have a hard time trusting attorneys. And I've heard it so many times, I understand it, but it shouldn't be that way. And we've built our firm, so those are not things that you'll ever hear about my office. Every client gets my cell phone. You can call me anytime. Every client gets every attorney in my office's cell phone. And thank God we have built a culture where people want to work here. So I have some of the best attorneys that are reaching out to me asking for jobs, because one, we pay very well, because I think in order to maintain, you know, the best, you have to compensate, and you should, and you shouldn't be greedy. And two, we treat people with respect, and we're honest with people, we're transparent with people. And attorneys like that. The attorneys don't want to work at a place that is just trying to pad their own pockets and that are cutting corners and doing things that they shouldn't be doing. You want to be able to go home and feel proud of what you do for a living and look at yourself in the mirror and know that you're, you know, a good human helping other humans. And that's the culture that we built here. And I greatly appreciate you saying that. I know that, you know, you've had the trust to refer family members to us. And I told you before we started this, everyone you've referred to us has just been such a kind, good human. And those are the people that I'm grateful to be able to represent. Like, that's why I do what I do. Thank God we've, you know, been very successful. I don't need to take cases now. I do it because I want to help good people. So I'm a little bit more selective. If you're coming into my office and you're not a very nice person and you got $1 million case, but you're not a good human,
right,
there's probably somewhere else that's a better fit for you, because I'm not going to take your case just because it's worth a bunch of money. I want to help nice people.
Well, and Brains, let me tell you, he'll tell you that from the get-go. We don't take everyone's case. So it's not just about the money. Okay.
No.
That's like me. I don't just take anybody on my show. You know, you can do all that other stuff, but if you're not in alignment with my values, you're bringing bad juju, and that's not going to work for me. Because the karma is not going to work for me.
Because you and I both know life is short and we only have so many days on this earth, and I want to be surrounded by good people and good energy. That's important.
Yep. Well, you were taught right. So can you just give us, not statistics, but just really, what are you seeing now as far as accidents? I know it's a range of them, but the last time we talked, a lot of motorcycle accidents, a lot of people getting clipped, you know, drunk driving. What's going on now? And these electric car vehicles, I'm hearing there's a lot of problems with those too. I don't know, what's going on out in the world?
So it's different in every area. San Diego, the big issue that we're seeing and we have been seeing for the last few years, so many hit and run accidents. So many people causing accidents and then fleeing the scene. I mean, it is an epidemic. I probably get two or three calls a week on cases where people are getting hit and then the other person's just taken off. And unfortunately, we have a big shortage of police in San Diego. We're down like 175 cops. So they do not have the resources to be able to pursue these cases. So they're not going to follow up and find this person who hit and ran on you. They will not. So if you don't have your own full coverage insurance, you're on your own. And it really is something that can mess up someone's life. Let's say you bought a car. Let's say you bought a $10,000 car and you have a liability only policy and you get someone that hits you and runs and your car is totaled. Well, you're out that 10 grand and you're still making your car payments for a car you can no longer drive. And if you're injured, you're footing the bill for all those injuries. And so it's so important for you to have good quality insurance on your own to protect you. We are also seeing a lot of people that even when they're staying at the scene and they're not fleeing the scene, they don't have insurance. And so many people are driving around on our streets with no insurance. And that's the other reason why it's so important that you have your own good quality coverage, because if not, you're left holding the bill. And so we're seeing a lot of that in San Diego, and it's heartbreaking. People have their lives turned upside down and there's no recourse. There's nothing they can do. And so I tell everyone, make sure you have quality insurance, make sure you have your own coverage, make sure that you're always checking it to make sure that it's in place. Because if you don't, you could end up with a very big bill, even if you didn't cause the accident. And that's not fair for anyone to have to deal with. Still seeing a lot of rideshare accidents, a lot of Uber accidents, a lot of Lyft accidents.
But give us an idea of what's going on, because we came home from a vacation and we got an Uber. And as soon as I opened up the Uber, it was weed everywhere. And I said, oh, no, we're not riding with you.
Yeah.
You know, we're not riding.
They're not regulated. And so this is anyone can sign up to be an Uber driver. There's not a whole lot of background. There's not a whole lot of like, oh, are you a good driver? They don't really do that. And so you're assuming your risk. And a lot of people don't know where they're going. They don't know your neighborhood. They're missing turns. They're not paying attention. And so we see a lot of rideshare accidents and a lot of really bad injuries. Now, the one good positive is that if you're in a rideshare, a Lyft or an Uber, and you get in an accident, whether the Uber is at fault or the other car is at fault, there's $1 million of coverage for you. So they do have very good insurances. So even if you have really significant injuries, there's normally going to be enough coverage to be able to, you know, make sure that you're compensated and get you the medical care that you need.
Okay,
so,
wait, pump the brakes right there. Who supplies the insurance? Is that Uber or Lyft? They're covering their driver because they're under them?
Their driver and their passenger. So if you're a passenger in an Uber or Lyft, no matter if the Uber or Lyft is at fault or if it's another car that's at fault, there will be $1 million of coverage there for you through the rideshare company.
Wow.
Yep. So that's really important to know. Yep. So you are covered there. But we see a lot of those accidents, and a lot of them have very serious injuries, unfortunately. And so if you ever know anyone in that situation, get an attorney. It's important. The rideshare companies' insurances know that they have a big policy, so they can kind of do some, you know, interesting things on the claim to set it up the best for them and not the best for the injury victim. So you got to be careful how you go about it.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And that's good to know that if you are an Uber or Lyft driver too, because, you know, I thought that they had to have their own personal insurance.
Nope.
In addition, but they're a part of the company's insurance.
As policy. Long as when the, as long as they have a passenger in the vehicle that they're transporting, the rideshare insurance will cover the driver as well.
Yeah, they scare me, really. I think when we had this experience was the first time I had, and that was about 6 or 7 months ago, I had ever been in an Uber or a Lyft. I don't like it. I don't trust it, but what are you gonna do? You're gonna rent your own car?
You're smart and you have enough fortitude as a human to go, I'm not getting in this car. Whereas a lot of people would go, oh, this doesn't seem right, but they'd still get in. And that's when bad things happen.
No, it was strange. Not only did I smell the weed, but she was riding on a donut. I was like, no, you're doing too much. You are doing too much. So let's have some fun facts about you real quick. Dan, if you were not an attorney, what else would you be in life? What else would you like to do?
I mean, other than rescuing dogs, if this sounds weird, I would love to be a chiropractor. Not like for the weird reason that I just like I like popping fingers, backs, necks. Like I love, like that's just something that's always been fascinating to me. So something that I would do, I would also love to get my pilot's license. I don't have the time. Flying in a weird way has always been a weird, anxious thing for me. And so I think facing that fear and getting my pilot's license is something that I should do at some point in time in my life. And I hope that I have the time to do it. But that's something that I would love to do as well.
Well, you have the land and you got the money to have a beautiful jet.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be ever spending my money on a plane, but I'd love to do it to check the box of life and say that I did it.
Right, I got you. If you were an appliance in the kitchen, what appliance would you be?
Ooh, I'm not, I don't belong in a kitchen. I don't know how to do anything. I make cereal is about where I am. But if I was an appliance in a kitchen, ooh, that's a good question. I guess I would be, I'd be an oven. I'm good at like putting things together and baking it and making it work, like creating, you know, the end product. So that's what I would like to do is like, I like to be able to like put all the ingredients together and then help cook them to make sure that they come out to something that is edible and pleasing.
Okay. I'd be the refrigerator. I just want to chill.
I love you. You've thought about that answer. You put me on the spot.
I did. Yes, absolutely. Because you know what? It tells a little bit about people's character.
For sure.
If you could time travel, where would you land? Past, present, future? Where would you land?
I mean, I would say past just because where we're going as a society, it worries me. You know, like I have a lot of concerns about our future and about, you know, the friction that we have in society and how divided we are as a people. And that worries me. I'd probably go back to like the 90s, you know, like we're thinking before cell phones for sure, where things were simpler. I have younger people that work in my office and I'm like, we have a payphone that's in my office. It's like a functional payphone. And I ask them, these are kids that are like 23, 24 law clerks. And I'm like, do you know what that is? Like, I have no idea. And I'm like, that is mind blowing to me that you've never seen a payphone in real life. Like, it's just crazy. And so I would go back to those days. I would go back to when life was simpler, when kids were kids, they didn't have tablets, they didn't have phones. You were outside until the sun went down, playing, active. Like, those were to me the glory days of my life. And that's where I would go back to.
What would you tell a 25-year-old Dan Falkerson, if you had a conversation with him right now?
Take your time. Don't move too fast. Things will come to you. Don't get ahead of yourself. You don't need to grow up all at once. You have plenty of time for that. And balance. I've always been a workaholic. Like, it's something I still struggle with. I don't have great life balance. I'm working on it. I'm getting better at it. But I work 7 days a week. It's what I do. Like, it's what I love. And I think that I can't do it for forever, but I also know that you got to ride waves when the waves are here. And I think that that's something that's always pressed me to work as hard as I have. But I know that I probably missed out on some life experiences in the last 15 years from 25 to 40, just because I'm working. And I think that I need to get better at taking a page out of some of my friends' books that are good at traveling and good at vacationing and doing that. And I've never been great at it. Like, I had someone asked me the other day, they're like, what would be your ideal vacation? If you could go anywhere you wanted to, what would it be? And I sat there, it was at a dinner, and I'm like thinking, I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere. Like, give me a week off. Let me just sit in my house and do nothing for a week. Like, that's my ideal vacation. I think that you get into a muscle memory routine of life, and I've kind of trained myself to just work, and that's not very healthy. So I need to work on that.
Well, you're brilliant in everything else you do. It will come to you. And you know what? You're on fire right now. And it's okay. As long as your health is okay and your bulldogs are happy, then you're doing good. And in closing, Dan, what do you want your legacy to be? You know, you got a big container. You got a lot of stuff going on, but what do you want me to stand up there and say about you?
Legacy is a thing that kind of messes with me, because I used to think it was one thing. Like, oh, cool, I built this awesome firm. You know, we've helped all these people, which is great. But I've realized over the last few years, and I think it's something that you know, and it took me a while, I always said I didn't want to have kids. And I always said that that's just not something that is in the cards for me. And I've realized that I think that that would be a disservice to myself. And I do want to have children at some point in time, because I think that I would be regretful if I didn't. And I think that that's true legacy, is like to be able to pass on, you know, life skills and ethics and morals and how to live, and to have that in, you know, a son or a daughter or both, if you're lucky, is something that I would really like to leave in this world. And I've realized that over the last few years. So when that happens, you know, that's in God's time, but that's something that I would like to leave as a legacy. And I don't think many people that just leave money are leaving the legacy that they really think that they're leaving at the end of the day, because money only goes so far and you're not taking it with you.
Taking it with you. I know my daughter says the same thing. She says, I'll be a grand muppy. So we're going to get a puppy eventually. But she doesn't want, you know, she just said that the world is so different now. You know, she says
she's young enough.
Yeah, well, she's getting up there. She's almost 40.
Yeah, but I mean, shoot, Janet Jackson was what? Like, she's 51.
She was doing it, you know. Yeah. But I told her, again, I kind of understand where she's coming from. It's selfish on my part, because I would love to have grandchildren, but is where you are. But you know what? You are a father to many. Look at all of the kids that you're supporting. Look at your fur babies, you know. So when it's time, I'm going to be right there cheering you on. I think that you are a super duper guy. And I thank you so much for, you know, investing in me and the show and time and energy and just being a good human being and what you bring to the world. And I mean that from the bottom of my socks, because my heart just isn't deep enough.
Well, and I appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate you, you know, taking the time to let me, you know, come on here and kind of give my viewpoints of life. And I think that what you're doing is important as well. You're spreading positive. Like, there's so much negative in this world, and you've always been a person that leads with love. And I think that that's an example we can all learn from.
Well, Brains, I need you to find it. Dan, tell him how to get in contact with you. As he says it so lovingly, and I say it all the time, is that he says, I don't, you know, want the clients, because I know that they're in a bad situation, but I do want the clients, but, you know, you're going to be handled with kid gloves. How do they get in contact with you?
You can always reach me on my cell phone. It's 858-252-2222. You can find me on social media, Facebook, Dan Fulkerson, Instagram, Dan Fulkerson, or The Bulldog Lawyer. I'm on there for both. Bada Fulkerson, our main office, but right off the 5 freeway. If you're going north on the 5, right when you cross Washington Street, if you look on the hillside off to your right, our big bulldog building. I mean, it literally has an 8-foot tall light up LED bulldog on the roof. You can't miss it. It's my bulldog bat symbol, if you will. And I'm always here. So anytime you need anything, reach out. You ever need, you know, business advice, you ever know anyone that's injured in an accident, you feel free to call us anytime. We're always here to help.
And if you want to volunteer, okay? And you got me there. You got me for sure. So just tell them just to call me, because you did a big a fundraiser, not a fundraiser, you did a big toy drive.
Yep.
I think I was leaving the country then. I didn't get to go, but I will be there to support you and all of the wonderful things that you do. Look at that dog. He's just so in love. So
ready to go sleep.
Absolutely. All right, brains, go in and do your due diligence. Love, like, share, follow, and subscribe. Love, like, share, and subscribe. Be careful, buckle up, watch out for other people, and be sure to pay it forward. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.